Welcome everyone to this second Members' Weekend. We've graduated from Members' Day to Members' Weekend. It might be about the 41st, anyway. I'm just here to tell you things like the fact that the exits are where you can see them, door there. And if you go up that door, you can either go down the fire escape, might be quite useful for the fire, or you just go down the ordinary stairs. And the nearest loos are just through that door and down one flight, about the level of the entrance hall. I think that's all I need to say legally. There are some people here who are new members, or perhaps not members at all, but new members. So please do, in the intervals, come and introduce yourself to committee members like me, Eileen, anyone else you see around who looks important. Just come and introduce yourself. We won't remember your name, but you never know. In particular, you introduce yourself to Marianne. I can't see. Marianne. She will actually know your name because she's got that gift that I'm afraid most of us have. She's the most important person in the room. Right. I think that's all I need to say legally, isn't it? Right. So after that welcome, I'll hand over to Christian, who's going to introduce the actual academic content.
Okay, welcome to the members' weekend. I have the honor to introduce, like I said, the academic, or let's say the topic of thought. And I think there are at least three good reasons why thought, the nature of thought, is a good topic, is an interesting topic. The first is that philosophy is the paradigmatic activity carried out in thought. And therefore it seems critical for philosophizing to understand the nature of thought and the limits of thought, because this will determine what we can think in the first place and how thought is related to reality. At this point I cannot resist to mention one of the philosophers that I'm most impressed by, Kant, whose philosophical project aimed first at an understanding of pure reason, so to speak, the most general and fundamental human cognitive capacities. And his fascinating thesis was that the world, as we perceive it, is created by reason. For example, space and time is not something that is there objectively, but it is kind of projected onto the world. So the interesting point here is that thinking is not a merely representative act or activity, but is a creative act, and this is very, very fascinating. So I think an understanding of the nature of thought can be, should be a first step before doing philosophizing. The second reason that the nature of thought is a worthwhile topic is that it is very central to the self-conception of the human being. The capacity to think is what supposedly remains special about the human being, the human species. A core question here is whether we differ essentially from animals by our capacity to think, and whether computers or artifacts will one day be able to genuinely think. Imagine thought were merely symbol manipulation symbols. Means somehow thinking is a kind of language of thought, as it was famously proposed by Jerry Fyodor in his book of the same name, then it would not be implausible that one day a sufficiently complex computer could replicate human thinking. But if the possibility of thought is linked to some specific characteristics of the human species, difficult to replicate, then prospects to create such computational artifacts that can generally think are much, much dimmer. And there are many different ways to find this differentiating angle which secures, so to speak, the special status of human being in terms of thinking. For example, dualism nowadays not very popular, but originally this say, in order to think, or only minds can think, in order to think, you need a mind, and only humans have a mind, so not animals and not computers. Therefore, only humans can think. This would be an argument. Another way would be to say that to think, we need concepts. And to have concepts, we need language. And only humans have the proper language, therefore only humans can think. So there are obviously very many different approaches to find this differentiating angle. And we will see today and tomorrow some of the talks will address specifically this. A third reason that nature of thought seems a very good topic is that it draws together a wide range of disciplines, both within philosophy. So we have kind of philosophy of mind, philosophy of language, logic, metaphysics, but also other disciplines like psychology, anthropology, neuroscience, and computer science. And they bear on this, you know, philosophical questions. And this multidisciplinary aspect is a good thing, I believe. The reason is that pure armchair philosophy or armchair reflection about thought has serious limits. Probably most of what we think is what goes on in the brain is unconscious. Another question is to call this thinking or not. And it is not obvious that we have introspective access to the nature of thought or to the causes of thought. Therefore, pure armchair philosophy seems inadequate. And this multidisciplinary aspect will be very visible in the talks today, tomorrow, and some of them will be really on the intersection of different disciplines. And so there will be not pure armchair philosophy, but they will, you know, draw in also empirical findings. Now, these are three reasons why this is nature of thought is a fascinating topic. I feel obviously unable in this introduction to define the concept of thought, what is thought, and I can also not provide a history of this topic. But I think it makes sense just to set a bit the stage in the framework. To draw three distinctions, how to look at thought. And this I borrow from Tim Bain. This is the author of the little book called Thought, A Very Short Introduction. I think I recommended it in the program. It's a very nice book. And so he says there are three ways to look at thought. First, thought as a faculty, thought as a mental state, and thought as a process. So if we firstly consider thought as a faculty, is a faculty to represent objects or facts in their absence, or even non-existing things like Santa Claus or the King of France. And thought, as opposed to perception, does not depend on external stimulus. So it is this stimulus independence that allows us to think about past, future, possible events or objects. And also the scope of what thought is about is much larger than what we can just perceive. So we can think about the endlessness of the universe, about elementary particles, so we can't perceive them. And most importantly, thought is the capacity to make sense out of the world, to develop theories, to understand the causal connections and the laws, that based on which the world functions. So that's a capacity. Then if we look at thought as a specific type of mental state, it's certainly different, or arguably different than perceptions, bodily sensations, or emotions. So a thought could be characterized, following Bain, as, now there comes a dangerously sounding words, occurrence, manifestation of propositional attitudes. Okay, what does it mean? I think it's a very good definition, and it's worthwhile to unpack this a little bit quickly. So examples for propositional attitudes are beliefs, desires, intentions, convictions, and so on. So they can be expressed by a set clause. So I believe that the cat is on the mat. I wish that the cat were on the mat. I know that the cat is on the mat. So what the word That is following is a proposition. So a belief or a desire in a certain attitude, the belief or desire is a certain attitude towards a proposition. Proposition attitudes are not thoughts unless they are actually present or current. For example, I can believe that Madrid is the capital of Spain as a non-occurrent kind of background belief. So I need not to entertain all the time that Madrid is the capital of Spain. So this picture as an occurrent propositional attitude may be too narrow. First of all, thoughts may not be really propositions or may not have the structure of propositions expressed by sentences. So we may think in images or metaphors like George Lakoff, for example, in the holes. And further, it's not clear that thought can be really separated from emotions and other mental states, body sensations. There is a recent wave in philosophy and neuroscience that I think is getting a lot of momentum, which is called embodied cognition. And what they claim is that that thought or the cognitive capacities, they are realized through the body, through the sensing motor state, so to speak. And if this is true, then body sensations do play a very important role in thinking, and then to explain the nature of thinking. And propositional attitude picture is based on concepts. So if I say I think that the cat is on the mat, I need the concept of cat, I need the concept of mat, and I need the concept of being on. So I need concepts. And the question is really if thinking can only happen, or if you can represent the world only based on concepts. This is, for example, some topic Eileen will enter later on. So this was the, just some background on thought as a mental state. The third way to look at thought is a process. So the question here is how the individual thoughts are built up to a larger entity, a larger unit, like a discourse, an argument, or an associative flow. And there are various modes of building such trains of thoughts, for example, deductive or inductive reasoning, association, or by analogy, and so on. The question is here if thought is really only this conscious, linear, step-by-step process, or, because, there's also the unconscious and unconscious thoughts or intuition also play here. So these are the three ways to look at thought, and this, I think, triple distinction will help to navigate through the wealth of very interesting and exciting talks today and tomorrow. And it allows to look at thought from those different angles. Okay, so this was the introduction to the topic, and now I think it's time to thank all the speakers, Anne, Eileen, Bob, Jim, and Mike for putting the work into preparing these talks, and especially let me thank Eileen, and Peter also helping to organize everything around this event. Okay, and with this high level preliminaries, now let me introduce the first speaker, Mike.